Yesterday was my birthday, the 21st of June. I was born on the longest day in the year. 3 o'clock yesterday morning. 84 years old. And people were here until after midnight last night.
The Listening Post, with foster carer, preacher and community worker Sybil Phoenix, the first black woman to receive an MBE.
I was brought up in a house of ministers. This aunt reminded me that I sat on my grandfather's knees and said to him that he isn't doing what he tell everybody they should do, because God said to suffer the children to come unto him. And when they was eating yesterday in the church, they didn't give me any bread and they didn't give me any empty drink. Because in those days they used to give children communion.
Good evening. Fires are burning across large parts of London tonight as more serious violence breaks out on the streets of the capital for the third night in a row.
Sybil has lived in southeast London since the early 60s, but was born in British Guiana.
I haven't been down there for what? 23 years. I haven't been to Guiana. Oh, I was what? 4 weeks nearly away. It's really nothing like the place I grew up in as a small child. I got back from Guyana, and it was really sad to see that, again, young people's rioting and really causing such mayhem in London. But in a way, this society has brought it on themselves. Years ago, when it happened in Brixton, Russ and myself spent the night on the street saying to the young people, you don't destroy where you live. And Lewisham wasn't touched. If you haven't got rap, if you leave them to themselves, if you don't look after them, you haven't got a rapport, what do you expect to happen? I was in the Philharmonic in Guyana. I was one of Philharmonic lovely girls. But I was quite young at the time, 13, 14, 15, 16. This lady that had the Philharmonic Orchestra and Choir heard me singing at the Y, and she sent downstairs for the voice. No, she didn't send for the child. She said, would you bring the voice that is singing, oh, Danny Boy, up to me? She was besotted with this voice. Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses dying. It's you, it's you. Must go and I must bide. That was because I was missing my mother, and this song appealed to me so much. And I used to change it to Oh Mommy There, because I lost her before I was 10. And life wasn't easy after that. And so, Oh Danny Boy was my favorite. Well, people thought I used to sing Oh Danny Boy. It was Oh Mommy Dear. In my heart, I was singing. Oh Mommy Dear, Oh Mommy Dear, I miss you so. I always say that I had some kind of foresight of what was going to happen to me. Because when my mother died, when they put the coffin down, I just threw myself in on the coffin in the hole, and they had help to get me out. I just wanted to be buried with her. Now, why did I want to do that at 10? I wasn't 10 yet, 9 and a half. Why did I want to do that? And every night I used to lie down and put my hand together and hope that I'd die before morning. And one morning, my aunt came in and I'm crying and she said, "What are you crying for?" "Nothing, Nana." "All right." The next morning I wake you and I see you crying. "I will give you something to cry for." "All right, Nana." So I stopped crying and went. 80 years ago, it was hard. Well, even say 70 years ago, it was really very hard for me. And I don't know why I'm telling you this story, because I've never told it before.
Sybil,
that's you. Right, your microphone, everyone. I'll switch it on now.
I'm in Southern Cathedral, and I'm about to be part of a service celebrating age. I'm accustomed to doing things like that as a preacher man. I came home from school and my aunt says, "When after you've had my lemonade and bread," she had an exercise book, pen and pencil ready for me to go and see Parson because the secretary is ill. So that's how I started working with the minister. When Enoch Paul came to the Guyana, for instance, he was recruiting people to come to work for Lions and for the railway and all of that. And I was church secretary then, so I met Enoch Powell. Any case, I run my own business, making sewing, and I wanted to learn millinery. And I wanted to learn trubanizing. So I wrote to the firm in London, paid a fee to come and do a 6 month stint with them at the shirt factory. I walked with my sewing machine. And in those days, they used to have signs up: no Irish, no coloreds, no dogs. In those days, that's what I came into in London. And I walked the streets of London and cried, because you couldn't get anywhere decent to live. I came at the wrong time, I suppose, when England wasn't ready for black people. I've organized lunch today. At the House of Lords, of course.
Where else would you have lunch?
Where else would you expect me to have lunch, sir? I'm here to raise funds for Marsha Phoenix House.
Sybil's journey to the heart of the British establishment began when she moved into a family house in Lewisham. With rooms to fill and bills to pay, a social worker at Sybil's church suggested she consider becoming a foster parent.
We are desperate for foster parents. We send black children virtually all over England because we have nobody to take them in. You're not taking students. You're gonna be a foster parent and taking these children. I didn't know about fostering, did I?
My name's Lorraine Phoenix, and we would come home from school and guarantee there was somebody else in my bedroom or my brother's bedroom. And we got used to it in the end. You know, we all have our own rooms, but guarantee, "Oh, by the way, so-and-so's in your room tonight."
The first thing she landed me with was to go and collect a 15-year-old. I don't think she was 15 yet. No, because she had her 15th birthday here, with a baby from Lewisham Hospital. And the matron told me, "Make sure she don't go and pick up another one in the park, because we're not going to have her here." That was my initiation in fostering.
But we just took it as a way of life. That's the way things were, and that's how we grew up.
I had equally amount of white children as I had black children. That is the ones that nobody would have. One that steals and all the rest of it.
And I think from that, it kind of stemmed, and then it was a complete knock-on effect that Mum got the idea, let's open up, let's do a hostel. And when they offered her the MBE, she wanted to trade it in.
When they offered me the MBE, that was 1971, and I had fostered over 100 children.
She really didn't want it. She just wanted the house for the girls.
I turned it down. He said hundreds of English people, white people, would be very pleased for the Queen to offer them a medal. I told him what I really wanted. I wanted my linen cupboard with sheets and pillow slips, I wanted a wardrobe with nightdresses and dressing gown. That when the police knocked my door at 12 o'clock in the night and asked me to take in 3 or 4 more children, I'll have the equipment for it. And I want a big house as well.
She kind of bartered with her MBE. That's how this place came about.
Well, the then mayor was quite upset and wanted to know who was this person who was being rude when the Queen is offering Lewisham this award. Of course, these are all white people. They didn't have black councillors then. And he says, but why do you have to always disrupt social services? I said, because my house is always disrupted. I always have children crying. The mother and the children have to go somewhere. When you take away the mother, what are you doing to the children? What kind of community are you bringing up in Lewisham? All right, yes, all right. And so the mayor's car took us to the palace. So all the children went. When she pinned it down and she said, and where are you from? Lewisham. I said, I was born and brought up in British Guiana. She said, well, I'm very pleased that you've adopted Lewisham as your home. That was very good. Enjoy today.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Even to your old age, I am he. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I run the moonshot, the famous, the infamous moonshot youth club that young people used to come from everywhere. It was the first black youth club. Never under 100 young people used to be there for disco, and I had the mother's project and the education project. I even started a car repair so that there were things that, you know, and so young people from everywhere knew, and they behaved.
Lewisham was in the headlines in 1977 after violent clashes between National Front marchers and some opposing political groups.
When Moonshot empty in the night, the white kids used to be on that side and the black kids on my side, and they used to mash the place up, and eventually they burnt it. And I went down there 4 o'clock in the morning and I said, my name is Phoenix, and out of the ashes I will rebuild. And so I did. We did rebuild it, and so on. So, and that is how I started to work with the police as well.
I used to be scared sometimes when we were going to school or when we'd go to bed at night because of the racist attacks that we used to have on the house, and we wouldn't sleep because people threatened to burn our houses down. That was the NF, and, you know, we went through a lot. I wouldn't go to bed unless I knew the fire extinguisher was at the front door.
It was the National Front that we had that we were coping with. Everybody had a suitcase packed because they had threatened that they was going to burn us out. They used to come and throw the filth in, and I had to nail up the letterbox and all the rest of it. I was talking inside a cathedral. And you know how church people never sit down in the front seat. So the National Front came and take over the front seat. And they had to get the police to put them out and so on. And so the cathedral.
They call it the New Cross Massacre, a fire that killed 13 young people at an all-night West Indian party last month.
But the police, though they did eventually admit that the firebombing could have been a racist attack, said they'd no evidence to prove it was.
Murder, yes?
Look here, we're about to say. Murder!
This result is disgraceful. How can a coroner sit on his backside in there and come with open verdict?
The police ring to tell me that they're coming to pick me up. And when I went, the house was on fire and just smoke was coming out and people had begun to gather on the road. And he gave me the loudspeaker to tell people what was happening. That is something in my life that I can never, ever, ever forget. The smell of that place and they bring in the young people out. And by the time they cleared the house, I said to the police then, oh, we went down to Deptford Police Station and give the list of people who was at the fire. And I was able to identify some of the young people and said, because they were all people who used to come to the moonshot. And I then said, what happened to the mother of the house? And they said, she's at the police station. And when I left the hospital, I went and picked her up and brought her home. I stick her in my husband's side of the bed. Things I've done in this place, it's unbelievable.
Heavenly Father, throughout our lives, we are your children. May your church value its older members, recognize their ministry, support them in their need, and prepare them for that day when they will meet you face to face. We ask this in the name of your eternal Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You can't understand how bad it was for black people in this place. You can't imagine. People slept on my floor, people slept in the playroom. And my son said he never had a mother of his own. He always had to share with hundreds and thousands. He never knew who he was waking up with sharing his bed or who during the night was pushing him out of his bed. My eyes just started to sting. I just wanted to cry then. That's what my son thought. That's my regrets. And for that, I have that pain of sorrow.
Marsha Phoenix, it was my younger sister. She was 10 when she died. She was cheeky, getting me in trouble all the time. But she's just a happy-go-lucky girl. Actually, we were on holiday when it happened. And, of course, taking a group of children on holiday.
In those days, they didn't used to take black people in hotels. And so they had arranged for us to use the youth club for bedding down in. So I was able to take away children. And sometime a couple of parents would come from the church and so on, so that it would help with feeding and doing all those kinds of things for young people. And so I had more than my share of people. So the coach was full. And I had, I think it was five children in the car. And unfortunately, Marcia was shearing sweets, so she wasn't sitting. She turned around. She was in the front seat with me when this car hit us. And drove off. And on that outing is when Marcia died. And I was hospitalized for quite a bit.
Mum's never got over it. You know, and Marcia lives on, no matter what, she lives on in this place and everything she does is for Marcia.
I've repaired my front.
And we house young, vulnerable girls from the age of 16 to 21.
The Listening Post. Sybil Phoenix.
Oh, it's you makes that noise in my garden. I hear it and I come out and look, but I couldn't see the bird.
Yeah. Awarded an OBE in 2008. Founder of the Marcia Phoenix Memorial Trust.
It's right opposite the family home. So if there's any problems or anything, Mum's just across the road. Mrs. P. The famous Mrs. P. She's known as Mrs. P. Or Mum. Or Aunt Sybil.
Hello.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses dying. It's you, must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadows and when the valley's hush and white with snow. For I'll be there in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, mommy there, I miss you so.